As Yarny Taylor entered the old courtroom and searched for a seat toward the front, she couldn't help but overhear clients arguing with their attorneys, as well as the chit-chat of folks waiting for their loved ones' cases to be heard. "I wish they'd hurry up and get this started, because I got to go to work," one person said. Another asked, "So you think that boo-boo gonna come to court and testify on Freddie Boy?" She tried to control the sway of her ample behind as she walked down the aisle, but all eyes were on her. Yarny wasn't sure if it was the confidence she exuded or her exotic looks, almond-shaped hazel eyes, high cheekbones, and caramel skin so smooth you wanted to lick it, which were complemented by her cream-colored Tahari suit that, like a little red Corvette going 100 miles per hour on the highway, hugged every curve. Diamond studs glistened in her ears, and a huge 6-carat rock weighed down her left hand. She wasn't a stranger to the courts. A successful attorney, she had won many cases in the very room in which she was now taking a seat. This time, though, Yarny wasn't there to defend a case. If it wasn't for all the bad luck, there would be no luck at all, Yarny thought, as she sat there trying to be strong, holding back the tears that threatened to spill from her eyes. The system had railroaded her man, Dez, once again. The last time was almost 15 years ago, but no matter the outcome, just like before, she was going to hold her man down through it all. Rain, sleet, hail or sunshine, bad, good, happy or sad, win, lose, or draw. One thing was for certain, and two things were for sure. She had Dez's back, and he had hers, through hell or high water. When Yarny first met Dez, he was already a street legend, and she was just a high school girl who had been raised by a single mother. Her mother had given Yarny every opportunity that a girl like her could ever want, all in hopes of her growing up to be a strong, independent woman. But once she met Dez, Yarny didn't care about anything her mother had given her or instilled in her or any of it. Yarny and Dez fell in love with each other hard, but their perfect relationship was put through the test of fire when Dez was arrested and convicted for a murder he didn't commit. For 10 years after that, Yarny rode for her man, never losing hope, and eventually got his sentence overturned. Yarny later became a lawyer to help other minority men caught up in the wrath like Dez had been. And now, here they were again, facing another murder rap. Yarny sat on the edge of her seat while waiting for her husband's case to be called. But first, another defendant was up for a bail bond hearing, temporarily distracting Yarny from thoughts of Dez.
"Samuel Johnson, you are being charged with 3 counts of murder, threatening a witness, tampering with state's evidence, conspiracy to commit murder, shooting in an occupied dwelling, possession of a firearm while a convicted felon," the court clerk stated, as she looked up at the man standing in front of her before taking a deep breath and continuing, "Use of a firearm in commission of a felony, kidnapping, torture, abduction, malicious wounding, felonious assault, and use of a firearm near a school zone."
Yarny thought the clerk should have taken a bow after putting her vocals through so much work. Instead, the clerk looked out into the packed courtroom, which was so quiet you could have heard a mouse pissing on the carpet. The sheer number of charges forced every single spectator to direct his or her undivided attention to this particular case, curious as to how one person could have so many indictments against him.
"Damn, I haven't heard anybody with that many charges since the Briley brothers," Yarny thought,
recalling a 1979 case involving brothers who were sentenced to death for an 8-month string of gruesome murders in Richmond.
Your Honor, we're here to ask for a bond for Mr. Johnson, the defense attorney said. He's a father and a Little League coach. The attorney walked around the oak table where he and his client were standing and approached the judge at the front of the courtroom. He has always lived here. His roots are here, Your Honor. The judge's hands were folded as he glared at the defendant through his glasses, which sat on the tip of his nose. Samuel Johnson fidgeted in his orange jumpsuit, his eyes never meeting the judge's stern gaze. Just looking at the man, Yarny felt that Mr. Johnson was being taken for a ride. Instead of the nice trim or touch-up on the jailhouse braids most attorneys made sure their male defendants had before appearing in court, Samuel's hair was in a nappy-like fro. He hadn't shaved, his goatee was raggedy, and it didn't help that his fair skin accentuated his dark shades of hair. He turned around to glance into the audience, and to make matters worse, his gray eyes were blinding, like sun rays around his pupils, making him appear almost devil-like. The first thing I would have done was buy that man a pair of brown contact lenses. Yarny shook her head at her thoughts. The defense attorney was trying to pretend to have confidence, but because of the number of charges, he knew he really didn't have a leg to stand on. He hadn't even done the proper research to prepare for the hearing. What was the use? Your Honor, he isn't a flight risk. The attorney went through the motions. I beg to differ, the feisty prosecutor interjected, rising from his chair. These are very serious charges, Your Honor, with serious consequences. There's no reason for the defendant not to run. The judge looked at the defendant and then at his defense attorney and bluntly said, No bond. Next case, please.